Star Wars fans, and welcome to the Organa Digest, your weekly spot for what's new and what's neat in the Star Wars universe. This is your host, Laura Dungum. This is episode 10, and we're recording live on Sunday, April 22nd. Welcome to the Organa Digest. Well, the biggest piece of news today would be that Mara Jade may be returning to episode 9. For those of you who don't know who Mara Jade is, she is a female character from the Star Wars canon, the old canon, the Legends canon, who eventually went on to become Luke Skywalker's love interest. Many people speculated that Mara and Luke might be Rey's parents. So a casting notice has gone out for episode 9. As you know, it starts shooting in just a few short weeks, and they're looking for a character, a woman in her, you know, late 40s, early 50s, and the code name of this character is Mara. So people are absolutely losing their minds about this. I want to believe. I love Mara Jade so much. She's one of my favorite Star Wars characters. I actually went as her for Halloween one year. Everyone thought it was G.I. Jane. It was a problem, but she was a female Jedi who was just super, super awesome. However, I'm not sure that she could fit in here, and I definitely don't want her to be Rey's parents. I think that Rey's parentage being sort of a nobody, that, you know, you don't have to be someone special to be part of the Force story, is actually really nice. It's a retooling of the Star Wars that we've known that's making it more inclusive and better without betraying the spirit of Star Wars that we all know. And it's actually my favorite part about The Last Jedi, which is sort of the breaking open the myth that the Force belongs in the hand of a few people, and allowing everyone to have a part of the Force without betraying the Star Wars that we know. So I don't think she needs to have fancy parents. But, oh my gosh, I love Mara Jade, and I would love to see her. But a lot of times they use these code names, and then they change the code name. Every single episode they've said, oh, it could be Mara Jade, oh my gosh, but then it never is. So I don't really think it's going to be her, but I want to believe. Anyway, what do you guys think? You can tweet me at the Organa Digest or email me at organadigest@gmail.com or hit us up on Facebook. Do you like Mara Jade? Do you hate Mara Jade? Do you want her to be Rey's parent? Do you even know who she is? Do you care? Let us know what you think. Next tidbit, in the water is wet and the sky is blue category, director Ron Howard says that Solo is really, really good. I mean, I know we all like Ron Howard, I certainly do, but he has done some showings of Solo because it's coming out in a few short weeks. And he says that people really like it. He was tweeting about it. Says it's good. Audience reaction, super positive. I'm not sure that he would say anything else. I mean, I know I wouldn't if it were my movie. But I guess if you don't have nothing nice to say, don't say nothing at all. So maybe he could have just kept quiet about it. But anyway, you all know how I feel about this. I think Solo is going to be pretty good. And I'm glad that Ron Howard is happy about it. If you want to go see Solo, you can buy your tickets on May the 4th, the unofficial Star Wars Day. This is a crazy holiday. I feel like May the 4th used to just be a thing that a few people talked about, and it was like a funny joke, and now it's become this like merchandised event. You know, you can buy stuff for Star Wars at Target on May the 4th. And it is just kind of bananas to me how mainstream it's become, and particularly this May the 4th day. So, but I'm all for it. I mean, yeah, Star Wars Day, Star Wars Week, Star Wars Month, like every day is Star Wars Day for me. So I'm pretty pumped about this. But I will definitely be getting my tickets on May the 4th for Solo because I can't wait. So how about you? You got final piece of news this week in the wild and wacky category. Do you guys have those in your local paper when you were a kid? One of those, like, on the last page of the A section, it was like, weird news, you know, man caught, like, wrestling with chicken on the subway. You know, just really ridiculous things. Those were always my favorite, and they still are. So it is with no small amount of joy that I announce to you that a man in Nova Scotia has built a 1/3 scale TIE fighter, and he's driving it around the streets of Nova Scotia, just terrorizing unlucky bystanders. You know, he's obviously not actually terrorizing them, just kind of frightening them with his 6 mile an hour, you know, like go-kart powered TIE fighter. This is a 2-scale replica. It is pretty incredible. He's got a video on his YouTube channel. Apparently this guy is an eccentric sort of mad scientist type. And he thought, you know what would be awesome? A TIE fighter you can drive around. And by good gosh, if you can dream it, you can build it. And this man has built a TIE fighter and he's just driving it around the streets of Nova Scotia. So just another of reason on a long, long list to move to Canada is this guy. So, sir, we here at the Argonne Digest salute you. If you would like to drive your TIE fighter down to Oklahoma, we would be proud to ride along as a sidekick. So thank you for being one of the things that makes this planet worth living on. A crazy dreamer. That is what the Star Wars fandom is all about. So I will absolutely link to the video in the comments. I want everyone to see it. So check it out. The show notes will have the video. That's all the news I have today. Kind of a slow news week as we ramp up to Solo, but stay tuned after the break. We will have the conclusion of the interview with Chelsea, fic author Destinies. Coming up next. Hey there, Star Wars fans. Welcome back to the Argonne Digest. I have the thrilling conclusion for you of the interview about fan fiction with my good friend, author Destinies. How are you?
I am doing so well. It has been a week in real time, and it has been about 10 minutes for us, so it's very exciting.
Yes. Yes, there was just so much in the fan fiction world and so much about the internet that we hadn't covered, and I think, you know, Star Wars fandom exists for better or for worse sort of on the internet, and the way that we interact with each other on the internet is kind of the basis of how we live. And I think that with all of the scary Gamergate and, you know, bad things that happen to women on the internet, that to take a peek sort of into the world of where the Themyscira of the of the internet, which is when the women sort of run, women curated, women written fan fiction world, is something that I really want to talk about, and sort of the goodness that comes out of that. Let's talk a little bit about the ships. For those of you who missed the hilarious article, and I think in the New York Times, where they had some like old white dude talk about fan fiction. What a ship is, if you don't know, is a relationship. The X-Files fandom claims to have invented this word, although that is hotly contested by some Star Trek people. And you can ship any set of two characters that you like. For example, there are a bunch of people who ship Draco and Harry Potter together. And the relationship does not have to be something that happens in the art. It does not have to be something that could ever happen. It's just two people who you think belong together, you can ship. So Destinies has some fantastic data on the ship stats in the Star Wars fandom. So who are the top three?
Top three. Well, as of today, which is April 9th, 2018, because this is always changing as people upload new stuff. The top ship in Star Wars is actually Kylux, which is Kylo Ren and Armitage Hux, who, the ginger general.
And how many fics have, since The Last Jedi, have been written in the Kylux ship? Just to give people a sense of sort of how big this is.
Well, total of all time, there have been...
All time
there have been 10,000 written for Kylux. Since The Last Jedi, that's changed a little bit, but we can get to that in a second. Obviously, the next biggest one is on, and this is just for Archive of Our Own, is Reylo, which is Rey and Kylo Ren, or Rey and Ben Solo. Works both ways. You got Solo or Kylo, so you got the low in there.
That's true. You know, I never thought of that, but that's totally true.
And they're at almost 7,000. So they're at 6,747 as of this podcast recording. And then the third is Storm Pilot, which is Poe, Dameron, and Finn. They're at almost 5,000. It's a really lovely ship. I'm a fan.
It's very polite. It's very friendly. It's very sweet.
That's not to say I'm not a fan of Kylux. I am willing to be convinced. I mean, you know, they hate each other. And sometimes that is a great source of tension.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, romantic comedies have shown us that, you know, the more you hate each other the first time you meet, like, the greater it's going to be when you finally realize that you're in love. And so, I mean, it's not entirely without precedent.
But I think you and I are agreed on what our Star Wars OTP is.
Yes, which is for the uninitiated, that is your one true pairing. And this is the, you know, the couple that you, that of all others, that really rings your bell. And yes, I am a defector. I was a storm pilot, but I am definitely now deep in the Reylo camp. And
into storm pilot. Those things aren't actually mutually exclusive. I'm a huge multi-shipper, which means I just kind of go every which way. I think Finray is a really sweet ship too. They're, they obviously have a very strong friendship. You can see how that would go somewhere. I firmly believe that everyone in space is bisexual or pansexual. So you can just bend them.
Okay.
Well, it doesn't really make sense. I'm joking, but based on something that Holdo says in the Leia novel, which we talked about last time, Leia says something about, you know, only really being into sort of vaguely male-shaped humanoids. And Holdo's like, oh, but that's so limiting. And I'm like, yeah, it is limiting. So
yeah.
I mean, it's a big galaxy and there are aliens in it. So I understand this is not actually how this works, but you don't need to limit yourself to just, you know, a few possibilities. You could go anywhere.
I think in the hands of a capable enough writer, you can convince me of almost anything. So speaking of capable writers, can you tell us a little bit about sort of your process? What goes into actually writing a thing? Like, can you tell us about sort of your writing process, your research process, and how you go about, like, you know, from, oh man, I have a great idea, to it now exists on the internet for people. Like,
well,
you know, what does that look like for you?
That I'm capable. I feel like I'm flying by the seat of my pants, like, a lot of the time. So that makes me feel really good. So this has actually been a little bit different for me. So I've been writing fan fiction for at least 12 years of my life now. And that is not a low percentage of my life. And
and not insubstantial period of your life.
But this is at Tactical Surrender is actually going a little bit different for me because I have an outline, which is not something I normally do. Normally I'm very outline phobic because I'm afraid that if I commit something to paper, it'll be out of my head and then it'll like be gone forever and I won't actually want to write it. But that changed for this story in particular because I realized that if I was going to track the duration of Rey's time with Kylo, she has a very limited time period. It's 9 days. I would not be able to just keep track of it in my head. I would mess that up real bad. I started working on the story like literally the hour after I got out of the theater, seeing The Last Jedi for the first time. I was like a woman possessed. I like stayed up till 2 a.m. writing the first 2,500 words of this story. I then wrote some more of it and I sent it to, a few of my friends, two of whom, became my betas for this story. A beta reader is someone who like will do the checks for consistency, for story beats, for you know, for making sure you language good, that your grammar is correct, or any combination of those things. To be like, is this plausible? Can I put this on the internet? Will people buy this premise that I've come up with? And I got down a good chunk of words before I actually started posting it. And it wasn't until after I started posting it that I came and did the outline. So that all sounds very haphazard, and it was. And I'm sorry I can't tell you that my process is very neat and organized. But now that I have an outline, what usually happens is I try to update either every week or every week and a half. And I just took a 2-week break so that I could kind of get more organized. But when this podcast airs, I will have actually updated again, which is kind of wild to think about. So let's say we're doing a week. So I'll try to put chapters up on Thursdays. And then usually I'll take Friday kind of quote off. I will try to do comment replies and I'll try to respond to readers. And it's usually kind of a wild time after posting a chapter. I like to respond to people. I like to have dialogue with people who read the story. It's really important to me to usually try to start writing on Saturday. And then my goal is to have the chapter to my beta readers by Wednesday. That doesn't always happen. Sometimes we're really cutting it very close. But to give them time to read through it and leave comments so I can make revisions so I can have it up on Thursday.
And so how many hours would you say a week
on this? You can testify to this. How much of working as a writer is just kind of like staring at your blank document and wishing the words would write themselves? Because if we factored,
I mean, like 90%,
yeah, if we
right?
factored that time in, it's a lot. I block out a bunch of hours on Saturday, say usually 6, and not all of those are obviously productive writing time, and then a few more on Sunday, and then the weeknights, Monday, Tuesday, are pretty much consumed by this. This is my life now. This is where I am. This is everything. Uh-huh. So it's not everything, so, but it's, you know, it's a lot.
I mean, so like 10 hours, yeah, 15 hours, 20 hours,
close,
like
probably close to 15. Monday. Yeah.
That's amazing. And of course you get, other than comments, you know, there is no financial or compensation that you get from right?
No, I actually just set up, after a lot of debate, a Ko-fi page, which is basically just kind of a virtual tip jar. So you can, if you want to, tip $3 to me, but you're not necessarily, fandom and monetization is a very tricky issue. I actually resisted putting anything like that up for a long time, but I saw a lot of other people were doing it, and I know the times are kind of changing around that sort of thing. I feel like, especially where fan fiction is concerned, we're very, very, very hesitant to tie money to anything because we're afraid, you know, Lucasfilm is going to come down on us with the wrath of all their lawyers, and that's bad. Mm-hmm. But with something like a tip jar, it's not like people are paying directly for the fan fiction. So it's a little bit different.
It's a new and fascinating sort of area of the fanfic world, is the fact that people can get paid, you know, and there's like Patreon where people can, you know, people pay like per chapter sort of thing. But by and large, I mean, it's not like you're drawing a salary. You know, any other job that you're doing 15, 20 hours a week, you know, you're getting paid for that. And so
I'm definitely not getting paid for, you know, per word, per hour, for anything.
Right. So, I mean, and I realize this could be its own podcast, but I mean, can you tell us a little bit about why you do this? Like, what drives you to devote such a significant portion of your life to creating this art that you just really, you know, have no chance of, you know, people who scribble, you know, novels and things like that, like myself, you know, you kind of do that with a dream in your heart of, you know, someday getting a book deal, and that may never even be realized, but, you know, at least that's like kind of vaguely on the horizon, but that's like just not even a thing for fan fiction, because, you know, it's sort of like at its heart almost like copyright infringement, you know.
It's fair use. I mean, the OTW, the Organization for Transformative Works, will back you up there, but
But so, but yeah, like, I mean, for your fic to like come to a screen, like particularly these ones that exist in the universe, like that's just, it's virtually impossible. And so why do you do this?
I mean, so there are two reasons, right? So this story in particular just kind of wanted to be told. I know that sounds really cheesy, but I really wanted to see what happened when you put these two characters in a room together again. And I mean, that's the heart of what Tactical Surrender is, that and a lot of other stuff that I can't talk about on this podcast. there's political intrigue, there's other stuff. The community is what really kind of keeps you going, I feel like, after you get over that initial hurdle. I really wanted to start the story because I wanted to know what was going to happen, and I really want to finish this story to prove that I can finish it. It's already the longest thing I've ever written continuously. But also because there are a lot of people who really love it and who want to know how it ends, probably like as much as or more than I do. And I don't want to.
Yeah, well. Yes, I would definitely be among the number of those.
Yeah, no, if
you didn't finish.
Oh, we're in it now. It's all happening. I'm really excited.
Oh man, it's been a wild ride. I'm sure for you as well as your readers. We are again running out of time, but can you tell us a little bit about? And this is something I find like super interesting. The comment section in the fan fiction world, sort of what that looks like for those who don't read fanfic, and you know how it's different from sort of the comment section that they would
So it's not Amazon reviews. You're not having people ranking your story out of 5 stars. It's a lot of, because a lot of fan fiction is published serially, you'll get people commenting on each installment that you post with their immediate gut reactions. And sometimes they come back with like very measured, thought out reactions, which is always really fun to see and to interact with. I got a lot of those on chapter 16 because that dealt with characters' ideologies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and sometimes
people write. People have started writing, even if they feel like they have nothing else to say, they started writing extra kudos as comments. And like the kudos is sort of the like button of fan fiction. So, but you can only do it once. So to say extra kudos is like, I like this enough to like it again, which is exciting. Comments on fan fiction are positive. Sometimes so I like constructive criticism is always appreciated, but a lot of the time people are willingly seeking out the stories that they want to read. And when something delights them or something really emotionally affects them, they'll comment on it. And it's just, it's like this wonderful feedback loop, because then you have, you know, you like want to keep making these people feel things. And it's just like, it is amazing to me how many people have felt things and told me they felt things because of something I've written. It's just, it's really wonderful. And I think as a young writer who grew up on the internet, having fan fiction taught me so much about writing, and having an audience taught me so much about responsibility and sometimes failure, but failure the greatest teacher is. So yeah,
that's right. I'm sitting here, you can't see me, but I'm like profusely nodding my head, like kind of violently nodding my head with everything you're saying. Yeah, I just think it's so crazy that, you know, in a world where the internet is full of, I'm just going to say it, like men who are petitioning Lucasfilm to make The Last Jedi go away because they didn't like it. There's this whole other world on the internet, which is, by and large, you know, people who are not men, you know, which and the wide, you know, swath of people that is, I don't want to disclude, you know, non-binary people, but people that are not men who are seeking out the things they like, not interacting with the things they don't. Like, you know, Kylux is not my jam, but I'm not going to go on a Kylux fic and be like, this is awful. Like, I'm just, you know, not going to read it. And so it's like this sort of self-regulating, self-policing community where people get to comment after a chapter like, oh my gosh, I love this so much. I can't wait to see where this is going. Like, thank you for writing.
It's really, really wonderful.
I can't imagine that feedback. Yeah, as a writer, you know, people have to read my whole book before they say something to me about it. Or, you know, I can get a text from a friend that's like, hey, I just started, it's cool. But, you know, it's not as I'm like writing it. Like, oh man, this chapter is great. Can't wait to see where it's going. You're like, man, me too. Like, I also want to know where this is going. It's just such a idyllic, like, I don't know. It's this really special community. I mean, it's not all sunshine and roses, right? Obviously, you know, we've got people in opposing camps, and not every person who comments on a fic has something nice to say,
but it's just wonderful though. So much of it is positivity, and it's like, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? And it just makes you feel really good. And I think that's something that gets lost when people talk about the Star Wars fandom and they talk about ship wars. Sort of on the more non-male dominated side, you'll hear a lot of talk about ship wars. But like within sort of the embrace of your chosen ship, you're insulated from a lot of that. And a lot of it is positivity. And it's really, really wonderful. Yeah,
there's a lot of love.
There's a lot of love, and it's a really wonderful community to be part of. So I am just happy to be here. Yeah. I'm very happy to be happy.
Well, we are very happy to have you here. You know, that's I wanted to have you on the podcast because I wanted to sort of peek into this world of fan fiction, which is so alien to so many people. But I also just wanted, you know, a chance to sort of like fangirl over you because I love your work.
Thank you.
Well, we're over time again, but thank you so much for being with us. And it is just great to have you on the show.
Thank you so much for having me again.
Well, that's it for this week's Organa Digest. See you next Tuesday, and as always, may the Force be with you.